soledad. Mis ojos brillan al pensar en su mirada tan profunda y sin igual.
Good evening, Crystal the Rock, 100.7 FM. My name is Tina Elmergreen, and joining me in the studio is Pastor Diana Acosta, otherwise known as Evange Di.
Evange Di, yes, here on Crystal the Rock.
We have a very special show lined up for you, especially for the women that are tuning in. It's going to be skewed mostly toward women, but you know what, guys? You might want to just tune in and learn a little bit about how women think, and that might give you the upper hand somewhere along the line, right?
And a lot of us, we couldn't do what we do as women without very wise and strong men in our midst.
That's
starting
right.
From our brothers and starting from our family members. So I always believe that one of the strongest pillars we have in our life are the strong men in our lives.
That's right. So Pastor Diana, tell me or tell our listeners, let's go and give them a little bit of insight about you and your background, where you came from, how you came to know the Lord, and share with us a little bit.
Well, I had an amazing experience when I was in high school. I was about 16 years old, and I saw for the very, very, very first time anybody ever get up and preach. And it was my high school coach, actually. He coached the baseball team at school. And we always, the young girls, we thought he was cool because he was a good-looking coach and all that stuff. And from one year to another, over the summer, something drastic happened in his life. And he came back, this new person. He walked around with a Bible, and us young girls, we didn't know what was going on.
Now, was this a parochial school?
No, this was a public school, public high school in California. And so one afternoon during lunchtime, he came out into the area where everybody was eating lunch. And I don't remember that far back to remember what it's called, but every lunch area has a name.
Yeah.
And he just got up on a table and started preaching.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were, you know, there's, of course, kids that will make fun. And
that's right.
People started gathering around and thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And I can honestly say that I didn't understand much of what he was saying. I was not in church. I was not raised in church. I didn't understand very much. I knew he was talking about God. I knew whatever he was saying was amazing.
But you could see the passion. Obviously, he was full of fire.
The fire in him and the presence of God that was felt in our midst.
Wow.
And all I know is that I can feel something different in my heart, that I desired whatever it was that he had.
Give me some of that.
Yes, absolutely. And so that was my first experience with the Lord. And then I had a friend of mine in high school, a guy friend, and he invited me one day to go to church with him. And I didn't know of him as being a churchgoer, so I thought, you're inviting me to church? And he was, and he takes me to this high school gym.
A gym.
It was a high school gym. And so, mind you, I had a very traditional background. So for me, church was, you know, stained glass windows
steeples
and nice pews and all these things. And so I was surprised. But to summarize it, that night, all I know is that when the pastor got up to preach, everything that he said just made a lot of sense. I didn't quite get it. I was very young. I wasn't understanding it. The Bible says that the natural mind cannot perceive
That's
the things
right.
of the spirit. But yet in my young heart, I was open.
Impressionable.
And I just said, God.
And receiving.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, God, if this is for me, then I want you to show me. Mm-hmm. And immediately something just happened in me. My heart was just captured. Amen. My tears started rolling down. And at that time, you don't cry in front of your friends easily. You're too shy, or you just don't want to. And I didn't. I didn't care. What I was feeling was stronger.
Wow.
And I know that it was God. And from that point on, I started going to Bible studies.
Wow.
and I started seeking God.
Wow.
And
immediately a big change.
Yes, it was this hunger. It was
wow.
The very next day, I just wanted, and they gave me this very small Bible. And I just wanted to read it and read it and read it and just experience that all over again.
Wow. Wow. And so
at age
18, you said?
Yeah. Well, that was at age around age 16 going on 17.
Okay. And so how did that change your, I mean, a typical 16 to 18 year old woman is usually into what kind of clothes I'm going to wear, the boys. Did all that go away? Or
No, not immediately. It did not go away. I mean, I remained the same. But one of the things that did change was that I developed a passion to let everyone in sight know that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Wow, you were bold.
Oh, I was very bold. However, and I say however, because boldness isn't always accompanied by wisdom.
Ah, okay.
And see, and so sometimes you need to develop or acquire a little bit of wisdom on how you're going to be bold, because
I'm sure you have some stories to that.
Oh my gosh, yes I do. And I was brought up in a Catholic home. And
me too.
Yeah, I was brought up very Catholic. And, you know, we didn't go to church and we weren't involved, but, you know, but we were Catholic.
Yeah.
And so we were, you know, my mom was very strong about it, and she didn't take us to church all that often. But yet when she was approached, she would die for it. You know?
Okay.
So I would come home, and everything I heard in church about Christ and about Jesus Christ is the only way, and the only way to be saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I would hear, I would come home and repeat my version of it. And my version of it was not accompanied by wisdom. Oh, no. I would come home and say, Mom, if you don't give your life to Christ, you're going to go to hell. And I mean, straight out. And there's truth to that, but there's ways.
And adults and parents aren't usually as receiving.
Yeah, especially not from their teenage daughter.
Right, exactly.
So I didn't go about it the right way. And it just was filled with passion, and there was passion behind it. And I needed growth. I needed to be...
A mentor.
And I needed mentorship. I needed time. But yet my passion was there, and I know that God knew my heart.
Yes.
So I went through some stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, a point in time when I know that I offended her, and I offended my mom, and you know, she was very adamant. She didn't want me to go back to church because she felt that, you know, she said, no, I don't want you to do that.
Did it affect your school? I mean, grades or anything like that?
No, not at all.
What's her reasoning behind that? Just because...
No, because of my approach, my witnessing approach to my mom.
All right. Wow.
It was not the best approach, I would say. But yet God in his mercy knew that my heart was in the right place.
Yeah, of course. And,
but it did get to the point where she told me that she didn't want me going back to church, and that, you know, this wasn't that she didn't raise me that way.
My
and
goodness.
She didn't want me back there.
Wow.
And so I spent a year not going. I didn't go back. It took me about a year, my senior year.
Goodness.
And I think that during that year, the enemy tried to distract me. The enemy tried different ways through friends and different things. But the Bible says that when the word of God is the seed of the word of God is sown into us, it will fulfill its purpose for which it is being delivered.
Yeah.
And once we have experienced the love of God, once we have experienced, had a genuine experience with Jesus Christ, we can't live very long away from him. And it's not a legalistic thing. It isn't so much of what I was doing wrong or what I was or was not doing. It was more his love was tugging on me.
Yeah.
I wanted his love. I wanted his presence. Yeah. I needed his direction in my life. I would not change what I experienced in that short amount of time
for anything
that I was living with friends or, you know, at that time, at that age.
It's not as fulfilling.
No, it was not fulfilling at all. And I knew at that age that if I did not entrust myself into the hand of God, it was going to be so easy to be derailed. I was going to school. I wanted a career. I wanted to do my life. But yet without the strength and without God's guidance, I don't think I would have always made the right decisions. And I knew that. Yeah. And it just so happened that during that last year, everywhere I went, I don't know where all of these Christians came from at that time. I mean, I was in LA.
Out of the woodwork, huh?
Yes, they would. They would come out of the woodwork. If I went to there was a place in LA, and if anyone from LA is listening to me, you all know about Tommy's. And it's a hamburger place that people went to hang out after a party or after they've been out. And people would come and witness to me at Tommy's.
Wow.
And see, and that only enforces the importance of just go up to someone and just let them know that Jesus loves
them. It doesn't matter where you are. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And it doesn't even matter what someone looks like. You don't know what God is doing in
That's
their
right.
life. And it wasn't a church. It was people out in the street talking about Christ.
Yeah.
And what really, really did it to me was I was at a red light and I was headed to a party with a friend of mine. And I was at a red light and this this young man. His arms were full of tattoos all the way up his neck.
Wow.
And he just knocks on my window and tells me, open your window. And if you live in L.A., you know exactly what that means.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. And what did
but
I do?
But you did it.
But I did it.
Oh,
I
you
did it.
Not.
I did open my window. And you know, all these thoughts went through my mind, but I was scared. I thought, if I don't open it, I mean, I didn't know. I just opened
happen?
The window, and I'm at a red light. I opened the window, and this guy was out there. He did not look like me. I did not look like him. I didn't look like I lived his lifestyle. He didn't look like he lived my lifestyle. But I'll tell you that whatever time it takes for a light to turn from red to green,
yeah.
This guy talked to me about Christ. He immediately preached the gospel to me. He said, Jesus loves you. He wasn't condemning me for wherever I was in life, wherever my walk was at. He was just reminding me that there is a God that is so faithful and a God that loved me. Mm-hmm. And when he said, Jesus loves you, he's got a purpose in your life. It was as though the light went on inside.
Yeah.
It's as though you're living in darkness and all of a sudden someone turns on the light and says, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And I knew at that moment, that is what I wanted. And
right.
And what I did was I had a dear friend of mine in the car. I told her, I want to go home. And she said, what? You want to go home? You're going to let that get to you? I said, absolutely.
Wow.
And so I turned around. I took her home. I was the driver, so I took her home. And shortly after that, there was a young lady at my job. At that time, I was already working, who always walked around with a Bible. And I never really had the opportunity to speak to her. I went up to her and I said, I had this experience over the weekend and I want to know if you'll take me to church.
Wow.
I approached her and asked her if she would take me to church because I didn't know where to go. And she did. And from that moment on, I was 18 years old. I surrendered my life to the Lord. I had already graduated from high school, surrendered my life to God. And I have never turned back since then. Never turned back. And one of the most amazing things was that my mom, again, you know, she started seeing me carry my Bible and she started seeing that I was going to church and going to Bible studies during the week. And she said, you know, what are you doing? Are we going to go through this again? And I remember this. I stood in front of her and I said, Mom, where would you rather me be? Where would you rather me come home from?
That's a good answer.
Would you rather me come home from a place that you do not know and you don't know who I'm hanging out with? You don't even know what I'm doing.
At all hours of the night.
At whatever hour of the night. Or would you rather me come home from a Bible study where I am seeking God? This is what I want for my life.
Right.
This is what I want to do the rest of my life.
Wow.
And
how old were you at that time?
I was 18 going on 19.
Oh, this is all on that same year.
I was 18 years old going on 19 years old. And from that moment on, my mom just said, you know, Diana, you're right. You do what you want. You do what you feel you want to do for God. And just leave me alone.
Wow. And where are they right now with their faith?
Oh, let me tell you, a year went by of me praying and my younger sister came to Christ.
Wow.
My older sister came to Christ. And then my mom finally came to Christ. And that was through prayer and through trusting God and seeking wisdom. I stopped being so blunt and arrogant with her. I just started loving her and praying for her and surrounding her, you know, with the love of God until she finally, one day she became very ill. And I just prayed that God have mercy. I was raised by a single mom and I asked God for his mercy and he healed my mom.
Wow.
And shortly after she gave her life to the Lord. And so I've had so many amazing experiences because at that time I just went out into the streets with a group of young people and started preaching on street corners on Hollywood Boulevard in California.
Well, I can't imagine you wouldn't have with the experience that you had. I mean, that's how you came to know the Lord. So
Of course. Exactly.
I mean, that was a huge impact
for
you. And so you said, man, this stuff works. I'm going to keep the chain going. I'm going to keep myself out there so that it could impact someone just like it did for me. So.
Well, for me, I was so impacted by the high school coach, the impact that he made. And I really would love for all of you youth pastors, young people that work with teenagers, that work with middle school age. Sometimes we think that we're speaking to the air and no one's really listening. Let me tell you, you will mark people.
Yeah.
Just this past weekend, I was out in Kansas. I was out sharing the word of God and with this couple that are pastors that I've known for many years. And I met their daughter when she was 8 years old. Lovely young girl. And she would literally sneak out of Sunday school, which our Sunday school teachers don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But she would sneak out of class so she can go hear me preach in the adult, in the sanctuary. And now she's 24 years old. She is now married. She drove me from to the service where I was preaching at in Kansas. And she started sharing these stories with me. And she was remembering when I preached at when she was 8 years old, when she was 12 years old, when she was in high school. And at that time, you would think it was going in through one ear, going out the other. And
so
she
the
said,
seeds
no.
were planted there.
Absolutely. And so when we are obedient to Christ, somebody's watching, somebody's receiving, and we need to trust that the word of God will speak for itself and it will back itself up even through the years. It has nothing to do with whether we preached a good message or whether we're dynamic or whether we're not. The more dynamic, wonderful. The more anointed, great. But the word of God will not return void.
Yeah.
It will fulfill the purpose for which it has been delivered. And we see that time and time again. And I experienced that. And when the high school coach, the impact he made on me, I thought, you know, I am going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall going out into the streets, but I also did something that was very bold. I worked in Beverly Hills. I worked at City National Bank in Beverly Hills for quite a few years. And during lunch, there were a group of nurses that got together. Now, I was at that time maybe 20 years old, and they were very religious. They came from the same background that I did before I came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Something just sparked in me, and I got up on top of the table.
You did not.
Yes, I did. During lunch.
Oh, my goodness.
It was outside by a park. We had this little eating area. And I remembered my high school coach, and I said, I said, God, if he can do it and he had anointing, I'm going to do it. I had heels on. I had a dress on at work. I get on top of this table and I start preaching. I say, Jesus loves you. And you, I don't remember everything I said, but all I know is I talked to him about Christ. And I don't want to mention their nationality because I don't want to make it about that. But in their nationality, and they were not Hispanic, but in their nationality, they're very religious.
Yeah.
Very, very religious. And they wanted to strangle me. I mean, they just wanted to strangle me with the exception of one. And when all the others, they started saying all kinds of terrible things and got up and walked away. And who, you know, do you think you are? And I felt, I felt crushed for a moment, but one of them stayed and she said, I don't care that all the others will walk away. I needed to hear that today and I want to give my life to the Lord.
Aww.
And she was in her nurse outfit and she surrendered her life to Christ.
Wow.
And after that, I would start meeting with her to share the word of God with her. The very little I knew at that time.
And that's all that matters is just one soul.
And
so.
That's all that matters.
That's right.
And you see, God was building my character from back then.
Yeah.
During high school, I was very shy. But when you know the Lord and you want people to know him and the anointing of God comes upon you, it's not about us. It's the Spirit of God that dwells in us, that desires that passion for other people to come to know Christ. And it took a process for me to grow. And by the time I was 22 years old, I decided I wanted to go into Bible college and go to seminary. And really just get more into the Word of God. And God just started opening doors and things began to change in my life. And at that time, at the age of 22, I met my husband, my former husband at that time.
Okay.
Yes, at that time. And I went into full-time ministry. And I think that is something that's part of my history, but it's something that God did. And so maybe when we come back, we can continue.
Yeah, we need to pick up where we left off.
We'll pick
that.
Up where we left off. But if I can leave you with a thought, and it's just trusting in that, in God, and trusting that he is the one that does the work in our life.
That's right.
And he is the one that cultivates that. And our passion, obviously, the best is to be accompanied with wisdom on how do we reach people? How do we talk to
That's
them about
right.
the love of God? Where we don't just further... you know, send them away. So,
well, there's a skill.
Yeah.
But I think he equips us with everything
yes,
we need.
Yes, he does.
So, okay, we'll be right back. We're going to go into a couple of songs. Be right back. Don't go away. 100.7 FM, Crystal the Rock.
Joe Doctor, Sociedades Bíblicas, Memo y el Ungido.
Dime qué vas a hacer. ¿Alguna vez has preguntado qué sería de tu vida sin él? Cada día es una oportunidad, no la des perder, porque todo es posible para el que tenga fe.
Somos nosotros, Afueguember Records.
Los Afueguember.
Bendito. Levante sus manos.
Me viste a mí cuando nadie me vio. Me amaste a mí cuando nadie me amó. Me viste a mí cuando nadie me vio. Me amaste a mí cuando nadie me amó. Y me diste nombre. Yo soy tu niña, la niña de tus ojos, porque me amaste a mí. Y me diste nombre. Yo soy tu niña, la niña de tus ojos, porque me amaste a mí. Me amaste a mí, me amaste a mí.